dealing with all this stuff. There's strong warnings in there about that. But he's giving them a word of encouragement how to get the victory over what they're going through. In fact, in chapter 10, Paul even mentions, you lost everything because you were identified with me. But you took the spoiling of your goods joyfully. That's always been a little harder one for me to grasp. I mean, suppose my neighbor was just a real man of God, and they come burn my house down because of him. Sorry, we got the wrong house. We'll get you. I mean, I think I'd be tempted to be mad. I don't know about you. But they were so developed, many of the believers in their faith and love, that nothing was going to deter them. And even though they lost everything, he says, you have in heaven a better and enduring place and substance. There's something better ahead. And that's one of the key points we'll get into as we go through here, probably more so next week. The better things. The Hebrew epistle talks a lot about better things. You might have certain things, you know, you're blessed in life and joy in life, but there's better things. And if you're losing anything, and for me, you know, when I see our nation being destroyed, it really tempts me to get mad. Because there's people who are yielded to demons in places of authority who are purposely, and you may or may not know this, but I'm saying this as a fact, they're purposely destroying our nation. Because the spirit of Antichrist wants a one world government, and this country's got to go down before he can do it. And that's been spoken to my knowledge, in my ears, 40 years ago I heard this stuff. I've had tapes, guys that were deep in it, miraculously come out, tell about it. It's been many. But that's neither here nor there, really, that aspect, whether I heard that or not. I'm just telling you that the evil can tempt you to get in flesh. Tempts me to get in flesh. Sometimes, I mean, I like to keep up on the news, what's going on, but every now and then I've got to say, I've got to turn this off. I can't take any more, Donna. I'm going to get mad. I mean, who wants to listen to devils barking at you all, you know, for an hour or whatever, because that's what it amounts to sometimes. But on the other hand, we can't be the ostrich and stick our head in the sand and pretend it's not there. You cannot do that, because it's there, it's around you, it's all around you. Now, how bad's it get? I don't know. And it's not the point. If something's affecting you, it's bad enough. Sometimes, you know, you hear this, like people will say something on the news, what have you, and they never thought it would happen to them. Now, that being said, we can believe for divine protection. And we might go through some stuff, but in any case, there's a place of victory for us. We need to make sure we're going through it and not getting destroyed by it. Well, where I want to go to, the Hebrew epistle was written for a people being persecuted, and many were drawing back and not following the Lord anymore. So he's bringing primarily a revelation of Jesus, high priest. And at chapter 10, verse 19, he says, having therefore, or because of this, because of what Jesus did, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And I was touching on this last week about as priests, the outer court, inner court, and holy of holies. And the holy of holies, the presence of God was in there. The blood was on the Ark of the Covenant, which means a box. And in the box were the Ten Commandments. And Aaron dried it, budded, and the golden pot that had manna in it. And that's all just pictures of Jesus in us, Spirit of God in us. And we can come into his presence where prior to Jesus paying the price for our sin, no one went to the presence of God because sin was condemning them in their heart. And says, so we can boldly come before him by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, as to say his flesh. Now, again, in the Holy of Holies, that's your personal communion with God. That's been made possible. Do not underappreciate or take that lightly. This is very, very important. It could seem not, but really it's a precious, precious gift to us. And in the presence of God, we can hear his voice. And God would speak to the high priest in that time. We can have it every day. And as we're navigating through things in this life, it is imperative that we hear from God, not hear from a man, not hear opinions, not our own reasoning, but we hear from God to know what's going on, what to do, what to say, when to say nothing. We need to hear from him. And as we grasp the importance, that's not just relative to a bad situation, but really we need that every day. We need that for our own peace and to minister in love. We've got to hear from God, because he's the only one that really knows how to touch another person's heart. We have to hear from him. So praise God for that. We have access to the Holy of Holies by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation. Our conscience is cleansed. We can come and ask as a little child. We can abide there. There's places in the Spirit. We are raised up with him and seated in heavenly places, places in Spirit. And we can abide. You know, people want to go to like a mountains and peaceful place. They'll want to go to the beach, and maybe that's a joyful place for them. Well, it's not wrong to go to those places, but more importantly, there's places in God where we really, place called peace, place called love, place called joy, a place of protection under his wing, and on we could go, where we learn to abide there while we're on this earth. And Jesus was speaking of that, to pray for that, where he said, as it is in heaven, that it would be so on this earth, to be on this earth as it is in heaven. Basic prayer thing. So we can incorporate that in our prayer life. Lord, just bring me into the place, the spiritual places you have for me. Show me how to live here. And Jesus said that he, John 14, that he needed to die, he needed to go, so that where he was, they could be also. Well, where was they? He was standing right the same place they were, but he was a place in the Spirit, that they could be brought into that. And I know all this is kind of abstract, but we need for God to make it real to us, that we're communing with him. Now, verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, when we're given a gift of righteousness, salvation, we're justified by our faith, not our works. Sin brings guilt and condemnation to the soul. And he cleanses us from that so we can stand before him. There's nothing between us and him. Our bodies washed with pure water, which is a reference here to the priestly ministry, the outer court, bringing an offering and then washing. Verse 23. So the first thing here, draw near to him. Since it was a sincere heart, a true heart, sincerity, with assurance, he will hear my cry. He does accept me, but draw near and commune with him. In going through the storm, now, this first 9.5 chapters, he is relating the understanding of the high priestly ministry of Jesus. And he goes into a lot of things. So he's saying the conclusion here, the reason that's important is you can come to him. So whatever that storm would be, whatever manifestation of it, he is who we need, what we need. We draw near to him in faith, and we can receive or be led, guided, shown what to do, whatever the case might be. Now, he goes on in chapter 11, actually in chapter 10, speaking about faith, and people call it the faith chapter. Well, it's not really. It's a continuation of what he's saying to do. He's saying to come near to him in faith. Then he goes into all this explanation. Paul was a teacher. All this explanation about faith. But the issue is not knowing all that. It's not jumping up and down saying, hallelujah, that's awesome. But it's to do it, to draw near in faith. Then verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. We sang a song or two to that effect. God is faithful. That means he'll keep his word. You can count on him. He is consistent. And we hold fast our profession of faith, or what we're confessing and testifying of, without wavering, knowing something. He is faithful. He will keep his word. Might say, well, how long do I have to do that, Pastor Bill, till you see the manifestation? And then beyond that. So holding fast your confession is vitally important. And then he says, and let us consider one another. Okay, we got it. In moving in the spirit and getting victory, we have to look beyond ourself. If you're only looking at self, you'll get into self-preservation. That's at the very core of human nature, to preserve yourself. Even the animal kingdom, you back an animal, hurt animal in a corner, it's going to come out like a lion. And it could just be a mouse. But that self-preservation is very strong, and we can't, as we're going through the storm, withdraw into ourselves. What do I need to do for me, 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 me? How do I protect me, 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 me? Rest of you, well, it's your problem. Me, 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 me. You do that, you remove yourself from love, and faith works by love. It says Galatians 5:6. To move in the love of God is the impetus for everything. Everything of the Spirit comes out of that. So it says, we consider one another to provoke or stir up, like stirring up a fire, to love and good works. Now, years ago, my dad was part of a hunting cabin with his brothers and brother-in-law and uncles and all these guys. I mean, I grew up around all that stuff. And there's times I got a little bit older up myself, and there was a wood stove in there, just to humor myself. I mean, I find things to humor myself sometimes. You know, like if I'm traveling to another nation, in an airport, I try to see if I can figure out where everybody's from without seeing their passport or hearing their mouth go with their accent. Just look at their face. And you might say, that humors you? Yeah, when you're riding on a plane for 20 hours. It humors you. See, I think this guy's from this tribe. And then you get talking and everything. Well, anyway. How'd I go over on that? The wood stove. Yeah, the wood stove. One of the things I'm up there by myself, 16 miles the nearest town. It's cold out, winter time. See how hot I can make the fire. And there was a thermometer, and it was like steps that went up to this, like a floor above there. There's a thermometer there. I see how hot I could get it in there. That's when you're bored. Oh, that just fascinated me. Stir it up, and there's things you can do with fires to get bigger fire, more heat, more coals. How high can I get this? Well, that's what this means. Stir up to love and good works. Can we stoke the coals in our brothers and sisters that maybe once burned hot, stoke the coals that they would want to love? And your example of love is a big key to that. I was talking with someone recently about this and saying, you know, people in our lives that would have been examples of that. And this person quickly named a person in their life as they were younger who was like, think of love, you think of that. Our example is very important. But then our words as well, our encouragement. And it says to love and good works. Because when the pressure's on, again, the temptation's to draw back into yourself. That's a temptation. So now your eyes aren't going to be on him. But the more your eyes are on the Lord, you know, he's going to have you look at others the way, you know, he's looking at you in love. And he wants us to move in love to stir people up in knowing the love of God and to walk in love. Now, when there's bad stuff going on, there's a whole lot of need. Whole lot of need. And really the opportunity to be a witness for Christ is like magnified with all of that. To provoke to love and good works. One of the stories, like to me, this lady, whatever her name was, Rennie Ukraine, she's in my Faith Hall of Fame. They were literally starving to death. She had one meal left. She had a daughter. They were only eating every other day once, every other day for like 2 months. She's down to her last meal. There's no food in the city like the size of Hanover or maybe as big as York, maybe not. No food. She had no money. There's no food if she did have money. She has one meal left. She has a daughter. And there's a knock on the door. And there's a lady outside with three little smaller children crying, please, can you spare me food? I don't have any food. Starving to death. She gives her last meal. I think, wow, could I have done that? Would I have done that? Well, maybe, but it takes being stirred up in love to do something like that. And the next day, she opens her front door, and there's boxes of food on her porch. And she goes into the town, there's no food there. And she knew it was angels brought that food. Sometimes people want to hear about miracles and things, but miracles will follow great acts of love as well as great faith. I mean, you need both of it. But I think, wow. And you have, even this day in a place like Ukraine still with war, where war is, great suffering. And someone who will give a little bit. And it could seem small, but can make such an impression. But especially if it's in the face of self-preservation. Because people know, all humanity knows what that's about. It's like the animal kingdom, they know it. And to gather and give one to another and bless one another. I share with you about the prayer of the saints. And the Holy Spirit has told me to bring this up at times, not because I want to, but because you need to hear this. I was at my point of death. Actually, once or twice, I thought I was dead. I didn't know if I was or not. I couldn't even talk. I wasn't quoting scriptures. But the prayer of the saints. The prayer of the saints. See, God has provision. If you can't do anything, don't be afraid of that. Man hates feeling helpless. We want to make it that we're never helpless. You might find yourself helpless. But the prayer of the saints, God ordained for that, to be able to lift us up out of that. So as we're continuing in fellowship one with another, you know, to pray is an act of love. To pray for other people now. I'm not talking about praying for yourself. That's the starting point. Come into his presence for you. But then praying for others, there's nothing in it for you. It's just for them. It's one thing to say like one sentence prayer. There's not much self-sacrifice in that. But if someone's dying and you're interceding through the night, it takes love. It takes the love of God to commit to coming to a prayer meeting. Because it's not for you. It's for whosoever. And to me, that's something that if believers understand the word can show a measure of either selfishness or unbelief. It could be either one. If you don't believe, you're not going to pray. But if we start getting self-centered, that becomes unimportant to us. But when we see that, you know, life on this earth is so brief, you know, it's and it can be very fleeting. Things can be great one day and a battle the next. You don't know. So we really need to consider him and develop a lifestyle. A lifestyle. We're drawn near to him, hold fast our confession, and we're purposed to walk in love. Now it says, not forsaking ourselves assembling together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We need to encourage each other. Because when things are happening bad around you, it's very easy to get discouraged. And we need to keep encouraging ourselves in the Lord, but then encouraging one another to keep pressing on toward our heavenly goal. Okay. So we assemble together, all the more so, sharing Jesus. And that's, to me, what he was impressing on me, the light of a storm that's coming. I don't fear that. Honestly, I don't fear that. But I kind of look forward to it. Why would you say something like that? Because the opportunities in love will be greater. The opportunities to witness. People getting upset out there now, they can see, you know, like the choppy waves. And we run into all the time anymore. You know, people, they're kind of leaking this stuff out. And we'd just be bold to say, do you know Jesus? Because they're expressing their fear, you know. So it's not like you're hammering them or anything. You just say, hey, you know, there's a way out for you with this. There's a victory here. So these verses are key to me. And really they go along with something in Revelation chapter 12. He says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to death. Again, it's just something that came to me this morning while we're worshiping. Never saw that before. That is the same as this. We come to him in prayer by the blood of the Lamb. We're cleansed. We can stand before him. It says they overcame by the word of their testimony, or he exhorts to hold fast your profession. That's your testimony. And it's very important we continue to testify, to speak of. That means to speak. Just to speak of what the Lord's done. That's what fellowship consists of. What has the Lord done? And we encourage, because we encourage ourselves in that. And then loving not their lives to death, or the more things are however you want to say it, falling apart, being crushed around us, we just go deeper in love. And whether anyone around you receives it or not, God sees. And he's pleased. And there's a crown for you in that. That being said, we will touch people's lives. I'm excited about the future. Yeah, there's a storm, but I'm excited. Jesus calms storms. He gets a victory. There's a victory for us through it all. And we'll get all the stronger. Father, I thank you for your word today. And Father, as you are changing us from glory to glory by the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, take this word today. Shake us. Shake us, Lord. Hallelujah. Help us, Father, shake ourselves from the things of this world to draw near to you in a way beyond what we ever had before. And I thank you for the places we'll enter into of love, joy, and peace. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for that spiritual blessing we have, being raised up with you, seated with you. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I do want to make mention, Donna put in the bulletin, the first Thursday of May is actually National Day of Prayer. So we really want to exhort and encourage you to try to come out and be part of that. It's important we're praying for our nation. If you're not part of the chain, if you're not praying for it, don't be complaining about it. And that goes with anything. You're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. But I really encourage you. And sometimes unbelief can start creeping in, but we don't realize what, you know, we're actually getting weaker. But faith is a muscle you must exercise, and it'll get stronger. And I'll just mention this in parting with that announcement that Brother McMillan in Cali, Colombia, they started having an all-night prayer meeting with other churches, and there was 50-some thousand, whatever, at stadium held, praying all night, and it brought change, and because it was known as a murder capital of the world, highest per capita rate of murders, and they went like a week with no murders, and 6 of the 7 drug cartel leaders got either killed or caught that week. It's because believers were praying. Yes. Yeah, so hey, don't underestimate what God can do. And through our nation's history, there's also been various times. There's been deliverance and miracles and blessings as a result. And I've seen, it's a part of, a move of God in prayer. It swept this nation. Not everybody entered into it, but I mean, there was many. In the 1980s and the 1990s, and our nation was going down a hole just like it is now. Worse, actually. And people ascribe the deliverance to Reagan. And praise God for Reagan. He was a great man. But it was a prayer of the saints, as far as I'm concerned. That's why men like that were able to do what they did and say, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Where did that kind of boldness come from? I believe it was God. So sometimes there's deliverances and protection and miracles, and we don't even see them or notice them. I mean, because something bad was prevented. That's what I'm saying by that. So don't underestimate what God might do. Do we have any other announcements, Paul? You can get